America, you can finally get the Jack in the Box fries you love, sauced and loaded. Introducing my $3 sauced and loaded fries, smothered in guacamole and cheddar cheese, and loaded with your choice of tender carne asada, savory chorizo, or chipotle chicken. So go ahead, get sauced and loaded out late with your friends, or the night before an exam, or even after a terrible date. Yep, there's never a bad time to get sauced and loaded. Well, unless you don't have a napkin. You could stain your shirt. Try my $3 sauced and loaded fries today. New at Jack in the Box. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome to the On Purpose Show with Susan Reeve and Rick Hansen. For compelling conversations, opening doors to discover and live a life work that's alive with passion and purpose. And now, here are Susan and Rick.
Hi, this is Susan, and welcome to another episode of the On Purpose Show. And as always, I'm really excited to be here with Rick today. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Susan. Love being here with you and our guest today. And we are really diving deep into purpose today and the blocks. So our title today is the three blocks, the three purpose blocks. How what gets in the way helps us to claim our purpose more boldly. So we're going to be looking at how do you find purpose and how do you work with the things that feel like they're getting in the way of that.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to take this new look at obstacles and how obstacles and blocks can really be a stepping stone for us to gain clarity about our purpose.
And we're thrilled to have the perfect guest today for this. Chris Kyle is a thought leader in the area of purpose. He's founder and CEO of The Ascendant Company, which is an online consulting firm that helps authors, teachers, and organizations build online learning programs and really highly engaged global learning communities that unite and inspire people across cultures. He's guided the online launches of best-selling authors and teachers, including Neil Donald Walsh, Jean Houston, Ariel Ford, and others that you would recognize, as well as many known learning organizations. Chris also develops and teaches his own online learning programs in the area of purpose, new success, and authentic leadership. He created and hosted the Power of Purpose Summit, which I saw and was fabulous, which drew over 10,000 participants from 85 countries. And he's the creator and teacher of the Man on Purpose 7-week online course, which has had participants from over 20 countries. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thank you, Rick and Susan. It's great to be here with both of you.
Yes, yes. We would love to begin just to hear a little bit of your story, what you learned on your way to finding an on-purpose livelihood.
Yeah, well, it's so great that this is, conversation is more front and center with like the two of you and many others that are really bringing purpose more to the forefront of how we choose to live our lives. And so for my journey, it was pretty classic, and I think a lot of people would resonate with this, is coming right out of college into a Fortune 500 company and big pharmaceutical company, and thought I was going to make my mark in the corporate world and climb the ladder. And I didn't really use all those terms, but it was sort of like, I'm going to make my way up this, in business and have an impact in business. And always there was a part of me feeling like that was where I should be headed. That was where my talents sort of lie. It's kind of what was expected coming out of a good college, was you kind of were doctor, lawyer, business person, sort of was the track. And so, I dove into that. I dove into that full on, and almost from the get-go, within the first few years, it didn't feel right, didn't resonate for me. It wasn't the place I felt like I could give my gifts. It felt constricting. Not that companies like the company I worked for weren't doing good things in the world and creating great products and had a certain amount of kind of energy in the business and all that, and interesting people and all. It was not for me. There was a kind of a deadening quality, and that really launched me. I left corporate America and started my own travel company. I was married at the time, and we said we really want to do this differently. And my wife and I created an adventure travel company called Nature Expeditions International, and literally did that jump from corporate America into having our own business. And that was really the start of saying, what do I really want? How do I want to live my life? What do I want? How do I want to contribute all those questions without me really saying I'm on a purpose journey. It was really about shifting that mindset to say, how can I serve in a way that's more inspiring for me? What can I create that brings me alive and that might excite other people? And certainly travel was something that I was super passionate about. And we had this ecotourism company that did trips all over the world, African safaris and, you know, treks in Nepal and down to Antarctica on icebreaker boats. And so that was really exciting, and that's the shift that then had me look more at, okay, now that's winding down, what's next for me and what's next for me. And then over the last about 7-8 years, I've really been investigating deeply with myself and even with clients and other people working with them is, well, what does it mean to really claim your purpose? And so a lot of the work I do and the men's work I do and with my clients is around an alignment around mission or purpose in life. And that's been rich for me. I mean, my journey over the last 7 to 10 years has been to fine-tune more of what my purpose is from a being state and less kind of from a doing state. Like, here's all the things I do that somehow relate to my purpose and more to how am I cultivating the being side of that, that I can sort of feel into this purpose as an expression of who I am. And so, you know, I can share more about that, but that's kind of been the arc of, you know, of my journey over the last 25 years.
Well, that certainly is an interesting story. And I'm curious about the being state. Can you say a bit more about that? What does that mean in terms of being your purpose?
I've spent a lot of time talking with other people that write and talk about purpose and teach it and kind of develop sort of my own sort of approach and words to it. It's all good. Everyone has sort of interesting takes and approach on the idea of purpose. But one thing that I've realized is that there's an energetics that stack up inside us as a human being. And it's a flow from what I am being, essentially what I call my essence, and having a sense of what my unique flavor of my essence in this life and who I am as this individual being, which flows into my gifts, my essential gifts. So there is some way that then I give that naturally, and I flow that out more into the potential of doing. And so then the final piece of sort of my purpose sort of model, if you will, is then aligned actions. And then in that is a lot about how I speak about it, what I actually choose to take on. And aligned actions should be aligned with my essence that moves into my essential gift or gifts that then opens me to the actions that I'm taking. So in a way, it sort of almost necessitates starting with that deeper interior of my essence of what am I really about? What are the qualities that make me that are at least my unique flavor of those? And then that moves out. It's an inside-out game. So I try not to start with anything from the outside in. Let's go pick that or try that or do that and then figure out how that works for that individual. Some of that's helpful to kind of find out what is that really brings me alive. But I like to start with that interior, that being state.
I love it. It definitely fits my experience.
Yeah.
If you've gotten to dive deep in this in yourself, and you've gotten to work with a lot of people and helping them, so why is this really living on purpose so important in today's world and culture?
It's kind of a central question that I ask both at the individual level, like, why do you think purpose is important for you as I'm working with it? And then the bigger question then is, why is it important for more and more people to step more fully into living their purpose? And I would say that the one aspect of purpose that I think is important to note is that it, for me, and as I talk about it with others, it is the expression of who I am authentically with my gifts, giving it out into the world as an act of service. So it's an act of, my purpose is actually energy born out of me that has some alignment with who I am that feels authentic, and then I give that out as service into the world. And the hope in that is that then it's helping to support the shifts that are needed in the community, in the culture, and in the world at large globally, so that it helps to create positive shifts for everyone. So it's that movement and act of service. So if more and more of us are engaged in an understanding of our authentic self and who we are, and then giving our gifts in a way that feel easy and with flow from us and feel like it brings us alive and it brings other people alive and it's exciting and I'm choosing to do this, it's scary, but it's really what I'm meant to do. I think that's going to help to continue to change consciousness on the planet and particularly solve and continue to help solve problems that we face as a global culture. So that's the creative spark of continually evolving ourselves and helping to evolve our culture so that we're growing and that we're solving the problems of the day, because it's pretty gnarly out there, guys. I mean, it's, you know, we can have a positive spin to it, and we can also look and go, wow, we need to shift things and we need to do it quickly. And so I feel like if we step more continually on our paths of purpose, all of us, that we'll make, you know, better decisions for ourselves and for our culture.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. And your enthusiasm and your passion is so clear. I spent some time on your website, and something that really caught my interest were you write about the purpose myths, that there are three myths. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, it's funny because I want to make sure we have time. Like, there's also a separate thing where I have the three purpose blocks. So, Susan, would you want me to kind of dive into the blocks or go into the myths? Because they're actually two different sets of things.
Whatever you think would be most valuable.
Yeah, let's dive into. I'd love to share, and then you guys can kind of pepper me questions about the blocks. But the latest sort of writings I've done is around these purpose blocks, and they relate to the myths. They do. But the purpose blocks, and I really have I've just narrowed it down for convenience sake, and you know, in our culture, it's sometimes easier to have things in threes, fives, or sevens, right? And so these three purpose blocks that I'll share are certainly not the only blocks out there, but they're the biggest ones that I've seen. And they also tend to, these three have a lot of sort of sub-blocks that you'll see in them, you know, so you could see how other blocks might relate to one of these three. But in all the work I've done with hundreds of coaching clients or people that have been in training programs or in my courses, online courses, or in some of the other in-person work that I do, I really see these three consistently, and I've given them names so that they're sort of memorable. And so one is called the fear triad. So that's the first core purpose block, the fear triad. The second one is what I call the doubting voice, and then the third one is the distraction vortex. And so the fear triad is probably pretty obvious to most people, is that we run fear. I mean, we as human beings, it's one of our, you know, core old brain instincts. And the three fears, when I say fear triad, it's fear of survival, fear of failure, and fear of ridicule. And those are the three that I feel like relate most to expressing myself fully and expressing myself purpose. The doubting voice is really about, many people will understand this as the inner critic. The gremlins, you know, that great book that's called, you know, Taming Your Gremlins, and what I've called the inner bullies. So when I teach purpose or I teach inner critic work, I use the term inner bullies, and those are just those archetypal voices, and they are kind of archetypal, because I found that there's so many of the same voices in so many people that you can almost archetype them. They have that same kind of quality. And so those inner bullies are, you know, I have my own unique flavor of two or three of my primary inner bullies that keep that doubting voice in front of me, that I can't do it and you can't make it and don't bother and whatever it is, that keeps me then disconnected and further away from really living and expressing my purpose. And then the distraction vortex is exactly what it sounds like, is all of the choices and possibilities in our lives today in our modern culture, all the things that we can possibly do, and there's thousands of things that can distract us, And some of them not so healthy. I mean, a lot of them are distractions that, that move even toward, you know, negative habits or even addiction. So it's the full range of just checking out, reading a book, watching a movie, all the way into, you know, drinking or doing drugs or whatever. There's so much that can distract us away from, you know, really pursuing and feeling into our purpose. So those are the three. Any questions? I can go deeper in those if you like, guys, or if you have any questions before I dive deeper.
I love those, Chris. And I one thing I hear you, we started off today talking about being.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what I think you're touching on with these is just that, you know, as we're growing into our calling or purpose, that we're doing some deep inner work, that really growth,
yeah,
the way we're growing as a person is intrinsic to stepping,
yes,
into our purpose. So I would love to hear, when you're working with people around these, to find, you know, a new relationship to some of these inner bullies, and to, in some way, move more free from fear as we claim our purpose. What do you find is helpful? What are some of the tools that you use for that?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. And I just want to acknowledge what you just said is so important, is that it feels like purpose is just another touchstone in our lives, as if another touchstone might be getting a divorce. Another touchstone might be in a new relationship and feeling all, you know, flush with that, a death of a loved one, a birth of a child, that there are things in our lives that are touchstones for us to do potentially deeper work on ourselves, to become more present, more aware, more graceful, more empowered. And so purpose is just one of those. I think it's an important one. But it's a way then to say, gosh, I really feel called to doing something I love that inspires me and also potentially helps and supports and inspires others. That if I'm on that pull, then by definition almost, as I move toward that more and more expression of my purpose, I am going to hit blocks and frustrations and resistance both internally and externally, definitely. And then everything I've been sharing here, you're right, these blocks are definitely internal blocks, because that's where we must start. I mean, the whole external blocks are, you know, little baby kittens, cute kittens, compared to the dragons and the demons inside our own heart and our own mind. And so we use purpose as a vehicle, as a way to do the deeper work, become a more empowered and aware and present and graceful and beautiful human being. And I think purpose almost just emanates once we, as we continue to claim more and more of who we are and more of our authentic nature. And so for the fear, like, so these are the fear and that voice inside and all these distractions that I go into bad habits around. It's really, I mean, each one of them has, maybe what I'll do is go into a little bit of what's the antidote to each one, and that will probably be helpful for folks as I share some of the practices that I use and use with others. And so the fear triad clearly is working with that old brain fear that sometimes is not even felt, experienced in words or negative thoughts. It's literally just that emotional state of I'm afraid and I don't know why, or I'm not sure why it's coming up. It's just there. So as we step on a path of being more empowered, living more of our purpose, showing more of ourselves, taking a risk, leaving that company to do something, that to write a book or to start a company or to paint, whatever it is, that clearly what happens is that the brain goes into old patterning, which says, this is new, I don't know what this is, I don't have any necessarily past experience to relate to this, so now I'm on alert, I'm on fear alert. You know, let's see, this is new terrain, and now I need to be on hyper alert for what could happen. And in the past, when you did something like this, you got whacked, so now the fear is up, because that something similar happened in the past and the brain has categorized that, cataloged that, and now it's back. And so the deepest one is the fear of survival. If I really go for what I want and shift out of my comfort zone and things that made money in a certain way or kept me safe financially in a certain way are now at risk, than that fear of survival, that if I really go for it, I'm going to be on the street, or I'm going to lose all my money, whatever that is, or my resources, or my partner. And then the fear of failure dives with that, too. The fear of failure is really this place of, you know, the words are really, if you really go with what you want and you fail, then in a way you've kind of failed on the big one, like your purpose in life. So there's a kind of a whole person failure versus I didn't get that task done, or I didn't finish that report, or I failed on this. Most people tell me in their purpose, as they get deeper into it, they feel like if they don't make it with their purpose, they've somehow failed in their entire life. And that's mm-hmm. that can be a really scary one. And then ridicule is probably one of the ones that I hear most around, kind of that's most in somebody's mental awareness of, like, if I do this, they'll think I'm weird, or they, like, I really want to become a healer or massage therapist. People are like, what? You're a banker. Why would you do that? That's ridiculous. So there's all this kind of ridicule energy and the fear of that by doing something really different or radically different, and what our families, friends, or culture would say, that's, you know, that's ridiculous. So that ridicule. And so I've it's a pretty simple flow, but for this fear flow, it's a real simple three-step process that the only way to really deal with it is to simply face it. So instead of brushing it away or pushing it off or say, I'll just do this and not look at it, is to absolutely bring full awareness to the fear and make friends with it. So there's a quality of shifting the energy from fighting it to saying, well, how do I invite this in, this fear, as a part of who I am, and knowing that it can fuel a sense of more awareness of what might get in my way, bringing awareness to it, which is step one. So notice and acknowledge the fear. See if you can even name it, like, wow, that's my fear of failure coming up, or that's that old fear that I'm not going to make it, or I tried this once before and it didn't work. And so just naming that fear, maybe one of those, is that the fear of survival? Is that maybe a fear of failure? Is that a fear of ridicule? Or any flavor of that. And then to really know it, bring some presence to it. Don't try to shift it, you know, you on a walk or in meditation practice or wherever, is to just allow that to be. And then step two is to allow it to a point where you can embrace it as actually a part of the fuel for you to grow and to move that into that energy of transformation toward understanding self better and understanding how your purpose will unfold potentially from this fear, or knowing that it's just a block. And so there is this kind of embrace it. My stepmother has written a number of books around meditation and the brain and brain science, and so she has a great phrase that's similar for this three-step flow, and that's called face it, embrace it, and erase it. And so that's kind of, and I haven't really stole that from her yet, but I might. But it's that awareness as I face it. That next step is that I really come into relationship to embrace it. So that's an energetic of just simply saying, this is part of who I am, and I embrace this part that is feeling scared, wonky, not sure what to do. And then the last is the erase it is more of, this is building the new neural pathway. This really, if I truly embrace it and accept it as the full part of who I am, then I actually can open the space for a new choice. And the new choice is either a new habit, a new choice, a new way of looking at something, but something powerful that I choose, either as a new thought or a new action or a new discipline. And that if I make that new choice and keep seeing that fear, noticing it, embracing it, and then make a new choice, I begin to develop a new relationship to the fear. It loosens, and I begin to create actually new neural pathways that move around and go and innervate that old habitual fear that may be coming up in me. And so that's a powerful way and very simple way of the sort of awareness, embracing new choice, face it, embrace it, erase it. And I'll pause there. Yeah,
I really appreciate how clearly you have described the inner experience. I can only imagine what a benefit this is going to be for our listeners. What I'm curious about in terms of tools and practices and approaches is there one small step that you see as a starting point that our listeners can do this week on their path to embodying their purpose?
In terms of the fear triad or just overall, just kind of a general
overall?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things in the, and I'm kind of thinking about whether it's the doubting voice or even the kind of the last one with the distraction vortex, I think what I would say is I'm going to give a little bit of a practice around the distraction vortex because I feel it's most up for people that I talk to. I mean, there's this deeper place of fear and how to work with it. Doubting voice is about, you know, working with those voices, the inner critic in us, and people probably know a bit about that and how to work with those negative thoughts that come up. But what I do find that might be helpful to your question, Susan, is that this distraction vortex is really insidious. This is the one that I feel like most day-to-day takes us out of healthy habits that would keep us more on track with our purpose. And so the practice that I'll share with people around that is that when you notice, first of all, it's a noticing, is that watch what you're, like you can take this practice of doing this through a 1 week, so just pick 7 days, maybe it's a Monday through a Sunday, and just make a commitment to watch the patterns of your activity throughout those 7 days, whether it's going to work every day and coming home and what happens at home, what's your morning ritual, and just for somebody to notice where they spend their time and their energy, especially when they have some open time or some free time. So people that are in the investigation of their purpose and wanting to live it more fully or take steps in toward it, that creates that, I don't quite know, and I'm afraid, and it's putting me out. So what I know is then the people check out. Then they go to the TV show. They go to the book. They internet surf. They start making a bunch of phone calls. They do other little hobbies that aren't that exciting to them, but they do it because it's a habit around their hobby. And so the steps that I teach around how you can set yourself free from the distraction vortex that suck is that it starts with observing your activity. And I know it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. You can use a journal, and just for page one, day one, it's just journal sort of what happened that day. Where did I spend my time? And notice in that journaling, where did I notice the moments in the day where I had some more open space, and then I chose something that would have fallen more into the distraction vortex, something that just kind of pulls me out of more awareness or working more on my purpose work, whatever that may be. And then some people may not like to hear this just because it's like, oh, no, here he goes again, you know. But I will say that having some kind of stillness practice, some kind of meditative practice, some alone time, quiet, where you're moving into stillness is so critical in that week. If you're able to sit for even just 10 minutes or 20 minutes quietly in the mornings or in the evenings and then reflect on what you wrote or journaled that day, there's so much that comes up in terms of awareness of, oh, that's not something that I really want to be doing, or there's some insight about how I keep doing that over and over again. And so it starts with that awareness, that stillness, and also journaling about what's happening in that week. And then as you make notes each week, then as you come toward the end of the week, the key thing is the second step is to notice what you're avoiding. So this is really, really, really important. So in your journal, you say, what am I avoiding? So step two, you even write that. What am I noticing that I'm avoiding? And sometimes, like for me, what I'm avoiding is actually boredom, the sense of boredom. Like if I'm just sitting quietly or want to think about something or really investigate something, I will actually get agitated or feeling like bored, and I'm like avoiding being bored, and so then I'll do something. I'll go do this, I'll do that, or I'll clean this, or and that boredom is what's gotten me agitated. There's some part of me that can't just be with thinking about something or sitting or mulling on something that's important to me. So bringing more of awareness to that, what is it being avoided, brings then power, because you're bringing more light to it, shining more light and more awareness, and then it'll have less impact. And then as the third step is that as you see more clearly your particular distractions, the things in your habits of that week that don't really serve you, and you notice kind of the qualities of what you're avoiding, you know, boredom or feeling sad about something, or not wanting to face that purpose thing because of the fear, you're avoiding the fear of living into that, any number of things, is that you're going to need support. So that support looks like, for some people, it's having a purpose buddy. Sometimes it's having a triad, three people that meet once a month to just talk about what they're up to around their purpose. Continuing to get positive reinforcement and support from one person, from a couple other people, from a group that you meet consistently. I have a men's group that I meet every 2 weeks with, and I can bring my stuff in there, and I can talk about my purpose and how I'm avoiding it. And so that's kind of the last piece, is I can begin to declare where I keep getting stuck, and other people can remind me, support me, or give me feedback on it. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a lot, I know, but it's...
It is. No, that was exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
And actually, in our blog post, as we follow up on this, we're going to list those steps out, because I think those are super helpful for people. Chris,
yeah,
I know that we are right at the end of our time here, so I want to
sure.
make sure people know how to find you. And I have your website as www.ascendantcompany.com. So ascendantcompany.com. It truly felt like today was the tip of an iceberg. I was wishing that our show was an hour so we could continue to dive in. And maybe, I mean, we'll follow up, because we'd love to have you back and dive deeper into those second two blocks. So
yeah,
thank you so
I know
much for joining us today.
Oh, I
so
appreciate both
so
of
much.
You. Yeah, and I just great questions, and I wish we had more time. There's so much here, and I just, my desire is that more and more people are awakening to their purpose, and that others are supporting the awakening of people into their purpose.
Yes, and it's clear that you're doing that, and very few people have resonated at the same level as some of the stuff we're working on. So we look forward to continuing the conversation. And
great.
For all of our listeners, we'll see you back here next week on the On Purpose Show.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Join Susan and Rick next week right here on the On Purpose Show, and join the conversation at facebook.com/On Purpose Show.
Right now at Jack in the Box, you can get my new $4.99 Spicy Chicken Club combo with a spicy, crispy chicken breast, hickory smoked bacon, and melted cheese on toasted sourdough, plus fries and a drink, all for just $4.99. And here to tell you about it is the best Spicy Chicken Club combo salesman in town, my cousin Gil.
Yeehaw! Jack ain't lying! This year combo will blow your mind!
Yeehaw! Thanks, Gil.
No problemo!
Get my $4.99 Spicy Chicken Club combo before it's gone. New from Jack in the Box.
Price of participation may vary. Small fries and small break. Yeehaw!
Right now at Jack in the Box, you can get my new $4.99 Spicy Chicken Club combo with a spicy, crispy chicken breast, hickory smoked bacon, and melted cheese on toasted sourdough, plus fries and a drink, all for just $4.99. And here to tell you about it is the best Spicy Chicken Club combo salesman in town, my cousin Gil.
Yeehaw! Jack ain't lying! This year combo will blow your mind!
Yeehaw!
Thanks, Gil.
No problemo!
Get my $4.99 Spicy Chicken Club combo before it's gone. New from Jack in the Box.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Small fries and small break. Yeehaw!